Like one, two. Can you all hear me with the speakers? You can't. I saw the green light. Yeah. Okay. Thank God for Duncan. Everybody this week asked me, how are you doing? I'm like, listen, my wife's the hero. She's the one that asked her how she's doing. Doesn't matter how I'm doing. Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5 and verse 16. Father, I need you right now. God, I needed you 5 minutes ago. And God, I'll need you for the rest of my life. Lord, in this moment, I need you. Lord, every time I preach and every time I speak, it should just be you. It should not just be me and you. It should just be you. So, Father, I pray that you will speak to my heart and speak to our hearts and help us to walk worthy, because we are saved by the Savior of all and we live for the Lord of lords and the King of kings. I pray this in Christ's name. Amen. Chapter 5, verse 16 says, "This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these things are contrary the one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would do. But if ye be led of the Spirit, ye are not under the law. Now, the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revilings, and such like, of which I tell you before, as I have also told you in time past, that ye which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. But, listen to this, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ's have crucified the flesh with the affections and lust. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vain glory, provoking one another, envying one another." This whole time as I've been reading, I've been walking. Walking is a continuous action. It is a habit of life. It also implies progress. My daughter, that's so weird to say, my daughter did not walk out of the womb. She didn't even crawl out. She's not going to crawl tomorrow either. Walking is something you learn to do in the physical sense. And it's not much different in the spiritual sense. Once you're saved, you're not just going to think, "Oh, I'm just going to walk in the Spirit today." It's not the way it works. this is a progress. Because if you remember, I remember when Michael started walking, it looked like this. You know, grabbing on everybody, grabbing on everything, and he fell into things. And man, we stumble, don't we? We stumble. The message I'm going to preach is walking in the Spirit versus walking in the flesh. And I'm going out of my norm today. Usually I'm pretty fiery. Today I'm going to try and be more teaching. Walking in the flesh is like when the children of Israel walked or wandered in the wilderness. They made no progress. Just going in circles. Look at verse 16. This I say then, walk in the Spirit. Walking in the Spirit is this, is responding in obedience to God's command. Walking is responding to God's command. For instance, Michael, I say come here, he comes here. That's how simple it is. But he doesn't always do that. Sometimes he goes, no. Or even better, he'll go, no. A little smart aleck kid. Look at verse 17. This one got me. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary the one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would. Let me ask you a question. If you're warring against the Spirit, who are you at war with? God. Who's going to win that one? I never win when I'm at war with God. You know where I end up? Where Goliath ended up. On my face. In submission to his Spirit. When it would have just been easier to go ahead and say, yeah, Lord, your way is easier than mine. Your way is a whole lot easier than mine. Think about your spouse, your children, your friends, your coworkers. When you respond to them, the way you behave to them, does it resemble the acts of the flesh or does it resemble the acts of the Spirit? Because if you act like you, it's going to look a lot like how I act like me, which is the opposite of how God acts. This is, you know, it's simple when somebody teaches it, and it's simple when you read it, but when it comes down to it, when you're dealing with people, when you're even dealing with yourself, it's not that simple. It's a whole lot harder. I want you to go to Romans 7 real quick. Romans 7. The Apostle Paul was a pretty remarkable man. Which means I was very surprised and pleased to read what I'm about to read to you. This is the Apostle Paul's testimony in the Christian life. Are you ready for it? This is it. Romans 7 and verse 17. Now then, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. For I know that in me, that is, in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good I find not. for the good that I would do, I'm sorry, that for the good that I would, I do not, but the evil that which I would not, that I do. Now, if I do that I would not, it is no more that I do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. I find then a law that when I would do good, evil is present with me. For I delight in the law of God after the inward man, but I see another law in my members. You hear that? I'll read it again. For I delight in the law of God after the inward man. Raise your hand if you love God's word this morning. I love God's word. But listen to what he says. But I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind and bringing me, listen to this, bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. Oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? I feel the same way. The man that teaches your children upstairs on a weekly basis feels the same way. Your outreach pastor feels the same way. I'm not deserving of this. Nothing special about me. I war against my flesh every day. Every day. I have impulses just like everybody else does. I want to do certain things. My flesh just, I'm slave to it. It pulls me one direction. I got to say no. 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 We're starting an addictions ministry next month. You know what the difference between addicts that have present sin, obvious sin, and us is? Their sin has been revealed. Aren't you glad that God doesn't reveal your sins? I'm glad he doesn't reveal mine. My fear, church, I'm being honest with you this morning, is that we're going to start this ministry and not all of us in this room think we're addicts. You and I are addicted to sin. And just because a drug addict or an alcoholic is more addicted in the sense that their sins are revealed, you can see it through anger when it comes to alcoholism. Drug addicts, they fidget, they squirm, they don't know how to behave. Just because it doesn't, their sins are revealed more than ours doesn't mean we're not addicts. You want to hear a shocker? When I went through the RU ministry, I didn't think I had an addiction. I didn't think I had a problem. I was in seminary. You know what my addiction is? The one that was revealed to me at that day was anger. There was an untamed child that lives inside of me that when I don't get my way, I get mad. And don't look at me so strangely. Guys, listen, I think purposefully God has tamed the way I usually am, which is usually a little fiery when I come to. I love to preach. I love God's word. But if we're just honest with each other, we're just a bunch of dirt balls. Dust will return to dust, right? We're going to see addicts here within the next year. They're going to come to our services. I'm confident of that. I'm confident. I don't know if you are. I am. Those that are addicted to any type of sexual sins, those that are alcoholics, those that have behavioral issues like anger, like I had spoken about. Maybe they steal, they lie, whatever it is. They're going to be in this building with you. My question is, are you and I going to behave like there's nothing wrong with us? Brother Steve, will you come here for a minute? Or are we going to say, man, I was where you were. I want to tell you what God did for me. God saved me from alcoholism. And now I'm serving God with my life. And I love my wife more than I did before. I love my kids more than I do before. And I'm progressing in my career as a nurse. This is Steve. That's Steve's testimony. Steve is going to be running our men's group at our RU ministry. His wife, Rose, is going to be running our women's ministry because Rose knows what it's like to live with an alcoholic who's angry, stubborn. You're still stubborn, though, right, Steve? Right. You can go have a seat.
Still angry.
Yeah, still angry, too. And we're fooling ourselves and we're fooling this world, thinking that we are just something, aren't we? And we're nothing. We're nothing. Let's go back to Galatians 5. We saw Paul's testimony when he said, "Oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death?" I'll go back and read that last verse. I'll return there. Some of you probably read it and thought, "You're not going to read that? That's like an excellent verse. It like completes the whole thing." But yeah, I'm going to read it. Just wait. Be patient. It says in verse 18, "But if ye be..." By the way, I don't have points during this. Because if you're taking notes, just whatever speaks to your heart, write it down. I don't have points. Verse 18, "But if ye be led by the Spirit, ye are not under the law." Something that caught my eye while I was reading these sins here, verse 19 through 21. The first section are sexual sins. See, adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness. Lasciviousness is looseness of life. It's the way you behave. You're wearing tight clothing to get the wrong attention. You wink at somebody that's not your things like that. It's just a behavioral issue, by the way, which is an addiction, just so you know. They're wanting attention. I'm saying that because I think that we have this idea that it's just drug addicts that have addictions. Man, we have addictions. Paul said, "I'm addicted to the ministry." I wish that was the case for me. I mean, I love the ministry. I do. But I love my sin, just to be honest with you. That's why I keep going back to it. Again, don't look at me like that. Verse 20. I want to make this a little bit more relevant. In verse 20. It says adultery, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies. This is talking about pagan religions. But I found a verse in 1 Samuel 15 when I was reading. I'm teaching the Kings through our Bible class in school. And I marked this verse because I thought it was interesting. In 1 Samuel 15:11, witchcraft, I found it said, rebellion is the sin of witchcraft. Rebellion is the sin of witchcraft. Are you not a rebel of God? My point is that you're not going to run from any of these lists. You're not exempt. I'm not going to run from this list. I'm not exempt. There's at least one, if not two, and the list is in front of you. You make the judgment yourself. But we are addicted to something in this list. By the way, this is not exhaustive either. This is not all that he could have said. This is just a few that specifically the Galatians were dealing with. Witchcraft also is the use of drugs. They used drugs to manipulate their emotions and mind. They thought that was the way to, be controlled by their God, so to speak, to make it a little bit more relevant. Verse 21. This is talking about human relationships. If the first two sections didn't get you, here you go. This is yours. Envy. You can't tell me this week you didn't look at something that you wanted or somebody else had something that you wanted and you thought, why do they get that? I deserve it. You know what you deserve? Hell. Hell. For all of eternity. Congratulations. That's what all of us deserve in this room. Hell. That's what he deserves. Honestly, right? That's what we deserve. Murders. Huh. Have you ever hated somebody? Huh. You're a murderer. Because Christ said, if you hate your brother, you've killed him in your heart. Drunkenness. You ever been under control of something that wasn't the Spirit? And revelings. Go to 1 Corinthians. This is the last place I'll have you turn. Really trying to hit this home. 1 Corinthians 6. First Corinthians 6, verse 9 says this. Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? But be not deceived, neither fornicators nor adulterers, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. Listen to this. And such were some of you, but ye are washed, but ye are sanctified, and ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ by the Spirit of our God. Amen. If it weren't for God, Steve, you'd still be a drunk. And you stand before God someday as a drunk. But because Christ saved you, Steve, you stand before God as a child of God. The reason they don't inherit the kingdom of God, by the way, is because sin cannot enter into heaven. But if it's covered under the blood, folks, that's where you're going. You didn't do anything to deserve it, so you're not going to do anything to undeserve it. You're already undeserving. We talked about in my discipleship class how almost all religions, they have a list of rules. You got to follow these rules right here. You got to follow A through Z, this 1, to whatever. There's no hope in that. And if I give my son a list of rules without a relationship, he's not going to follow them. Rules without a relationship reaps rebellion. And what is rebellion? Sin of witchcraft. Which the point is that all of us are rebels, guys. Our flesh, don't fool yourself. Your flesh hates, not dislikes, it hates God. Hates God. It is at enmity with God. In other words, there is a wall that is built between you and God, and nobody can separate or nobody can take down except God himself. And in Ephesians, it says that he took down the wall of partition between us and God, removed it, while we built it brick by brick, sin by sin, up, 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 up. And in just one event, he wiped it off to allow us to have a relationship with him. Now, having said that, we have no reason. Look, we understand, we know how bad sin is, how destructive it is. There's no order of life. There's no happiness. There's no joy. Nobody benefits from you living the way you want to. Nobody. Not even you. You think you might, but you don't. You're not happy. Some of you this morning might be living in sin right now. You're not happy. Your friends might tell you you're happy. They're not happy either. Okay? Having said that, let's look at God's attitude. Verse 22. But the fruit of the Spirit. Now listen to this. That's the fruit of the Spirit. The root of the tree where the fruit comes from is salvation. You understand that? Only God's people reveal this fruit. Now, can unsaved people be patient? Yeah, they can be patient. Yeah. But this is the fruit of God. This is God's attitude. And here's the thing, guys. We can exchange our attitude and how we feel about things and the way we live. We can exchange all of that, give it to God, and he gives us this. Let's read. Verse 22. Love. Love. Now, love, I'm still learning a little bit about love. I thought I loved my wife and my son until I examined 1 Corinthians 11 a little closer. Love is patient. Part of dealing with anger is being very impatient. They almost go together. I'm not very patient. Love is kind. I'm not very kind. List goes on and on of what love is. But you know what? If I look at the cross, if I look at God, I see how patient he is with me. And then I see that Christ loved the church as I should love my wife. And if God is patient with me, why should I not be patient with my wife or my kids or others? We got to go. Sorry. Joy. Joy is not just happiness. Joy is a peace of mind even through trials. Joy is only something that God can bring. Peace. That's certainly not something you're going to find in this world. This year is evidence of that. I look at some Christians and I'm like, I don't know how you're so peaceful. You're just so peaceful. You ever met somebody that's just really peaceful? They're just no matter what goes on, they're just calm, cool as a cucumber. They're just calm. You ask them, it's because Christ is inside them that brings them peace. Long suffering. It says love suffers long. This is patience. You know, some of you might have children that have gone astray. And you know what it's like to suffer long. You know what it's like to suffer long. To see them come back to a relationship with you and with God. You suffer long. Gentleness, goodness, faith. Faith helps us with our unbelief. Do you ever say, I don't know if God can do that? You're doubting him. Have some faith. I know it's simple, but what's the alternative? You worrying, sitting in doubt? I'd rather have faith. I have big goals for this RU ministry. I have big goals. I have faith that God is going to come through with every single one of them. I have faith in that. And the only reason I'll be disappointed is if it's bigger than I thought it would be. Which is not a bad disappointment. Meekness, temperance. Verse 22. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and the lusts. What is your heart? Look at me, church. What is your heart set on this morning? Now, right at this moment, it's easy to have your heart set on Christ because we're singing some good songs. We're hearing the word of God. Man, our heart is just, there's no way I'm going to sin today. No way. Right? You're thinking that right now. Today's going to be the day. I'm going to stop sinning today. Today is the day. You're going to go home. You're going to sin. And you're going to say, man, I stink. I stink again. This is how you do it. You're going to have affections. You listening? You're going to have affections. So put your affections on things above. I think somebody said that. Somebody really famous. Something that we should know. Christ himself said that. Set your affections on things that are above. Christ did say that, right? Okay, good. I was hoping, I felt a little doubt coming from the audience. I wasn't, okay, set your affections on things that are above. Your sins are a result, sorry, the fruit, whether it's anger, whether it's peace, whatever, that's where your affections are. Your affections with you walking in the flesh or your affections walking with Christ. You set your affections, you set them. God doesn't set them, you set them. You're angry because you want to be. There's a verse in Corinthians that says, it talks about a group of people whose belly is their God. In other words, whatever they feel, they obey it. No. Your spouse says something to you. You want to react one way. You say, no, I'm not going to react that way. I'm going to love her. I'm going to love him. I'm going to be kind. I'm going to be patient. That's what that means. That's what walking in the Spirit means. It says, I want to disobey my flesh and obey the Spirit. You get that? I want to disobey what I feel, my affections. I want to reset my affections on things that are above, Christ, the Spirit. You know, you don't have to react to everything that comes your way. You know that, right? Like, you have the option to say, I want to wait. I want to reveal another sin of mine. You ready for this? I like to spend money. I don't have to spend money. I know this is a silly illustration, but it's fitting. I have a credit card in my pocket. I do not have to take it out and swipe it and purchase something. It's my choice. If I use my credit card, I face the consequences. I have to pay for it. And be sure you will pay for however you react. You'll pay for it. You'll pay for it. By the way, Steve did not wake up one day just wanting to be an alcoholic. That's not the way it worked, did it? It started with those little sins in his heart that he thought nobody's going to know about this. Am I right? It started with these little sins. Nobody's going to know about this. Nobody's going to know about this. And then it's revealed one day. And everybody knows. But now everybody knows for a good reason. Now he's going to help people who are alcoholics for the glory of God. Verse 25. I'm finishing right now. Thank you guys for listening. If we live in the Spirit, which we do, if you're saved this morning, you live in the Spirit. The Spirit's not going to leave you. The Spirit's there. It will always be there because it seals you unto the day of redemption. But listen to me. There's a difference between living with your spouse and having a relationship with your spouse. Do you see the difference? There's one thing just living with your spouse. Another thing is to walk with them, hear them. And more specifically, in this verse, it's actually they're in front of us walking with them. He's taking us somewhere. Do you see that? He's taking us where he wants to go. I have recently decided I'm done asking my wife where she wants to go eat. I'm going to take her where we want to eat. Amen. Same illustration. She didn't know that until just now. You're smiling. I'm glad. You know what the end goal of verses 19 through 21 are? Look at verse 26. Desirous of vain glory. Every sin that you commit ends up because you want to be God. You want the glory. I want to do it my way. I'm the God of my life, and I'm going to live the way I want. That is also, in verse 20, idolatry. Because you put yourself before God. It never ends. God, are you convinced this morning that you are addicted to something, and it's called your flesh or your sins or your affections? I expect to see you all on Friday nights from now on. That's a joke. I'm just kidding. I want to close your Bibles. Go ahead and close your Bibles. I want to tell you all a story. There's a woman. First of all, Jesus was teaching a bunch of folks, just like this, teaching a bunch of folks. And in the distance, he sees a group of men holding on to a woman. And they don't ask, "Hey, sir, can I?" No. They bring her right down, and they cast her at Jesus' feet. You know the story. And they said, "She did this. She did this. She did this. She deserves to die." And Jesus, by the way, I do not believe that he marked in the sand something that convicted the Pharisees. I don't believe that, because he went down to write in the sand as if he heard them not. I think he just kept on teaching, to be honest with you. It says the Spirit convicted them. There's three groups of people in that passage of Scripture. There's the Pharisees, who thought they have no issues. They are sinless. They are spotless. They are perfect. But this woman is not. That's the group that we act like. And then there's Jesus, the one who is forgiving, who loves, who forgives, all of that. And that's the man that we want to be. But you know who we really are? We're the woman. We're the one casting, we're at Jesus' feet. helpless, with a death sentence stamped on our record. And he says, go and sin no more. You want to be like Jesus. You do. You wouldn't be here if you didn't. I want to be like Jesus. But we often act like the Pharisees. And we often pretend that we're not the woman. But we are. This morning, I want you to see your need for the Lord. You sang about it and you prayed it to him, but did you mean it? Did you mean it? Let me ask you something. You said, search me, O God. Do you really want him to? Do you really want him to? Because if he finds it, which he knows about it, but you invited him, that's like your kid hiding something. And he's like, okay, you can come in and look. Now, you knew about it, but now you're going to find it, which means you're going to address it. Do you really want him to do that? God is such a loving God. He's so patient with us. What I'm asking you to do is to look inside and see your need for him is not any less than an addict's need. We all need him, all of us. Let's pray.